The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPont.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Election Day is Saturday, May 4th, not just for the San Antonio City Council and Mayor's race, but also for some local school boards. Early voting starts this Monday on April 22nd. It'll last to Tuesday, April 30th. And today we're hosting a forum for the candidates running for the San Antonio ISD Board of Trustees Place 5. Incumbent Patty Radel is the school board president and challenger Janelle Rubio, who is supported by the San Antonio Alliance of Teachers and Support Personnel. You can call in with your questions. The number is 210-614-8980. Got a question for the candidates? We want to hear it. Call in 210-614-8980. You could also email those questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. We're going to start off with 2-minute opening statements from our candidates, and then we'll get to questions, 2 minutes for each of those answers. And we have that rule. It's in place. If one candidate tries to characterize the other or their policies, then we hit the pause and we allow that other candidate to immediately respond, and then we move on. We feel that this incentivizes having a civil conversation. Probably that would happen anyway without that, but this is a way to ensure that. And you can, again, you can call in with your questions. The number is 210-614-8980. We had a coin toss earlier, and we're now allowing Janelle Rubio is going to be able to go first. And Janelle, you have 2 minutes. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, good afternoon. I am Janelle Rubio. I am running for San Antonio ISD School Board for District 5. I'm a wife and mother of 3 girls. My family has been rooted in the West Side for over 100 years. My great-grandmother built our family home back in 1919. I'm a proud product of SAISD. My girls currently do attend the Foya Middle School. My older two do attend Lanier High School as a sophomore and a junior. And as I said, I am a product of the district. I attended DeZavala Elementary, the Foya Middle School as well. And I did graduate from Lanier High School in 1999. I am running for school board because as a parent, I have felt ignored, not only by the district, but by the board. In the community, we feel like we are being closed out of conversations, felt like the important decisions about my children, their friends, and our District 5 schools, and input from parents like myself are being ignored. There was and there is zero transparency in the district. The closing of Rodriguez Elementary is an example of decisions being made behind closed doors. There was no input from community from District 5 parents. A lot of community members don't even know that Rodriguez was closing. It's sad. Where's the accountability for our community and our taxpayers when it came to making decisions? I am worried that our District 5 schools are getting ignored. Outside of District 5, they're getting great resources. But look at Ogden and Storm that have lost their bilingual programs because of outsourcing to Relay. Again, the school district and the board did not engage in community and parent involvement. This is very unacceptable.
Okay, and now we get an opening statement from Patty Radel of the SAISD School Board of Trustees.
So again, my name is Patty Radel, and I've been a resident of the area I represent in the Lanier feeder pattern. I've been a resident there for over 50 years. My experience in serving the community stems from being a volunteer co-director of inner city development, where we deal with a lot of emergency services for families, education for children, and recreation for children. And I have been involved in that with our community members for over 50 years. And I have been a teacher for over 20 years. 12 of those years were at a neighborhood school, J.T. Brackenridge. I'm very committed to education, especially with my experience as a teacher. I'm committed to parent participation. Their voice and their involvement and engagement in our schools is very important. I feel very positive about the trajectory we are on. Our district grades are up. Our graduation rate is up. Our number of students going to four-year university has increased greatly, especially at the Lanier campus. We have more applications from our students at Lanier than any other high school for college going. We have had tremendous growth throughout the district. I'm proud of the new innovations we are bringing into the district. I visit schools within my feeder pattern regularly. And I always seek teacher and parent input. We have lots of great things coming forward in the future for the district as well, including a clinic at Tafoya Middle School that will serve the high school across the street, Lanier, as well as the elementary school, J.T. Brackenridge.
All right, now we get to the questions part of our programming, and we're going to take as many as we can from the phone lines and from email. The phone number is 210-614-8980, and Tiffany has called in, and let's get Tiffany's question on the air. Hey, Tiffany, welcome to The Source. You have a question for the candidates, and you will have Patty Radel answering first. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I know that academic outcomes in SAISD have been lagging for many years. I'm wondering what specific strategies each candidate would move the district to take to improve those academic outcomes for students that have been underserved, and what level of deep responsibility candidates feel about increasing the competitiveness of students in San Antonio.
All right, Tiffany, thank you for the question. Patty Radel, you go first.
Well, I think seeking the help of the many entities in the city who are willing to help us out, whether it's in mentoring and bringing good programs to our students, giving our students more opportunity, more experiences, whether it's people who are experts in science and reading, or people who are able to provide field trips to our students so that their life experiences are enriched, so that their in-class experiences are fuller. But also, I think that the path that we have taken during this spring in developing partnerships with nonprofits with expertise and partnering with them and bringing them to our campuses has been a tremendously strong step in the direction of bringing new academic opportunities to our students and actually strengthening the programs that we already have in place, whether it's in our early childhood or if it's in our international baccalaureate programs. These are programs that are strengthening many of our neighborhood schools as well as our choice schools. So overall, we seek partnerships to strengthen the good teaching that we have already on our campuses. The best thing we can do is bring the best principals possible and the best teachers to our campuses.
And now Janelle Rubio.
In response to getting a better academic outcome, honestly, there needs to be more resources. Yes, there are resources out there. We need more resources in our schools. We need to see more books. We need to see more technology on the campus. So these students don't have to go to outside sources. They can stay, at their home school and understand that they can go into their libraries and have the resources right there at their fingertips instead of having to be outsourced. They need to be able to know that they do have not only staff, but support staff that are there to support them with their studies. Get them tutoring. More programs to be inside the schools, not just outside.
Okay, and now let's go to another question, and this is Christina. Christina, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, and your question for the candidates, and it'll be Janelle Rubio who will be answering it first. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. You know, I'm calling as a current SAISD parent who, you know, I do see so much good work being done. I do see the needle being moved. I see the district focusing on putting kids first, but my question is, how can you work with the board, the superintendent, to build trust and buy-in across the district among parents, teachers, and the community? Because, again, I see so much good being done, but I really feel there's a lot of hurt feelings and misunderstandings, and I think we would really benefit from how can we work together to continue to put kids first and not let adult battles interfere with that.
Christina, thank you for your question. And now Janelle Rubio.
That's a great question, honestly, because it all comes down to community involvement. Getting more people from the community and the parents, grandparents, the abuelitas and that to come forward and actually be part of the education movement, the process like it used to be. It basically goes back to grassroots. Make sure that these parents and this community is being held accountable for education.
All right, and now Patty Radel, 2 minutes.
Well, we have established a parent engagement program overall that is really delving into finding the best ways to engage parents and also find pathways for discussion, how to get the campuses to help our parents feel welcomed on campus. We have a new program which is going to involve a training or retraining of campus staff that they realize, everyone on campus realize how important the smile is and the welcoming attitude towards people coming on our campus, that they want to be there. And then also to find real things for parents to do when they come on campus. Parents do not just want to sell chocolate for cheerleader outfits. They want to be engaged in the real education of their students and to find out how it is that they can be part of helping their students be successful. So I think building the trust, again, is finding ways to have deep conversations that show that we are really interested in listening to what the parents have to say, what community members have to say, to help us enrich the initiatives that we are instilling on our campuses.
Okay, and here's another question, and this one comes from Katie. Katie, thanks for calling The Source, as we have the two candidates for District 5, SAISD, here with us this afternoon. What's your question?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. So last year, SAISD had these cuts, layoffs to teaching positions for both candidates. So I guess for Board President Radel, how do you justify the decision to riff and lay off 132 teachers and then still have a job fair that weekend? And then we start the school year with over 60 teaching vacancies. How do you justify making that decision, even with those vacancies?
Okay, thank you, Katie, for that question. And now Patty Radel.
Well, of course, all of these procedures, progress on estimates and anticipation of what the next school year will be. And over the last 2 years, prior to last year, we had 4,000 students leave our district. So that left us with many more teachers for which we had, viable jobs to fill. And so in doing the reduction in force, the reduction in force was based on teacher evaluations. And out of that, teachers were laid off regarding their performance. And it wasn't always even as to whether or not, they were math teachers or they were science teachers. It was by performance. And so then you end up perhaps needing people in certain categories that you don't have enough of now because of the layoffs. And so thus you need a job fair to find the people that you need to fill particular positions. And then having still positions to fill at the beginning of the year ends up, on a regular basis, mostly we are very good about filling the positions by the time children are in the seats in the school. And this year it was more difficult. It was more complicated because of the RIF. But the RIF was justified because of the number of students we'd lost in the district.
Now, Janelle Rubio, if you can talk about your take on the layoff of 132 teachers and if you would have done the same thing if you had seen that there was a reduction, that we lost 4,000 students in the schools of the schools. I mean, what would you have done?
Honestly, the RIF was unacceptable. Yes, 132 teachers lost their jobs, but for less than a week later, or maybe a week and a half later, to have a job fair just to fill those positions, honestly, it's like a slap in the face to teachers. It's like your accomplishments, you've done so much, and you reach the hearts of these children, and you actually become part of them, to then to have it all ripped away from you by a few little words saying, your time's up. Wow. It changed the 35 vacancies that happened at the beginning of the school year because of it, not only affected the staff, it affected the support staff. It affected the students. Their classroom caps were through the roof. None of this should have happened.
Since you're not taking the full 2 minutes, I'm going to follow up here and ask you, what would you have done if you had lost 4,000 students, and how would you have reacted to that?
Now, was a loss of 4,000 students because of the privatizing?
I mean, or you is have, there's, I mean, you, what would you do with the personnel? I mean, would you just continue?
We would have to continue. Honestly, because these teachers are needed, and you're thinning them out just to replace them.
Okay.
Let's
just move on. Right. Okay, let's talk about transparency. This is an issue that has been come up, and you brought it up, Janelle Rubio. So tell us about what you see as the issue of transparency, what you mean by transparency, what would you like to see done to improve transparency? If you get elected, how would you make things different?
There's a huge lack of transparency. For example, agendas being put out days before board meetings. You need to have time to actually go through documents. It's not just paperwork. It's not just black and white. These are actual people's lives that you're playing with. You need to take all this into consideration. Get back into the community. Find out what they want done. Let them know what you're planning on doing, not only with them, but with their children, which is our future. They need to know that it's going to be stable. They need to know that they can still go to school, not just in their little neighborhoods, but everywhere.
And so, Patty Radel, 2 minutes. I was wondering, you guys get 2 minutes to respond to these questions. You don't have to cut yourself short. And I'll let you know if you're running out of time. But so far, that hasn't been an issue. And so, Patty Radel, if you can respond to the issues, the questions that have been brought up about transparency, and also to anything else you want to talk about.
Well, our district has certainly made an effort to help parents understand changes that are coming to the district. Within his first year as our superintendent, Mr. Martinez visited all the major traditional high school campuses for community meetings 3 times in 1 year, and talked about the major changes that are coming and talked about our 5-year goals. We are in the fourth year of our 5-year goals, and we are progressing as was presented and hoped when the plan was presented when he first arrived. We continue to have meetings that we announce to the communities in a variety of ways, through a PENS message that parents all get on their phones, through the campus family and parent liaisons. We have teacher coffees. We have good presentations at principal coffees. We have many meetings in which the parents and community are invited to be presented programs that are coming, and also to ask questions. Some of us as individual board members have our own meetings. I even invite groups of parents to my house to discuss the different issues that are coming up. We send out information sheets. We send out newsletters. The major decisions that are being made are guided by good and heavy discussions with our superintendent, and information is presented to the community. It's online. There are some programs that we are insistent about as a board that hard copies need to be provided to the campus. And there are certain topics in which I feel we could do better.
Okay, so that's 2 minutes, but real quickly, follow up. It sounds like you don't think there is a problem with transparency.
I don't think that there is a problem, so to speak, as transparency. That sort of suggests that you're trying to hide something. I think that we can do better in our communication. I think we can find more ways to bring parents in to make sure that they are understanding some of the changes. But certainly in some of the very recent big changes we have done, it was a requirement that parents and teachers knew what these changes were about.
Is there a problem with the release of agendas before school board meetings?
Our agendas are always released on time.
According to the law?
According to the law. And our board has been insistent at receiving agendas earlier than that.
Was Rodriguez Elementary closed without community input?
Rodriguez was closed because of a mandate from the state. It was not the wish of the SAISD, district. It was a mandate from the state. There was conversation, certainly, with the campuses on a regular basis because they were under pressure to work very hard in getting the students to pass the STAR exam, okay. And they worked very, very hard.
So I want to get really one class reaction from Janelle, and then we'll go back to the questions from the phones. So Patty Radel talking about transparency, your reaction one more time on that and about the agendas. I mean, is there a problem with the agendas? So tell me more about that.
Honestly, there is, because especially like the last one, the huge one that came out. How are you going to be able to go through a 1200-page agenda in less than 3 days?
That
How is
an
that
going to
be possible?
That was not an agenda.
Okay. But transparency, you still are concerned about
There's a huge lack of transparency.
Okay. All right. We got to get back to the callers, but I think we understand where you two stand on that issue. So, Sarah, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead. You have the two candidates for District 5 from SAISD, and we will be going to ask your question.
So, I'm just I would like to know each of you. We really haven't heard a lot about your background. So, for both of you, what is your connection to SAISD, and what is your take on public education versus charter schools?
Okay, and Janelle Rubio, you go first. Talk about your background and how much you know about school boards and what they do.
Again, like I said in my opening statement, I am a product of the school district. I did attend school in San Antonio ISD. I attended Dizabala Elementary, Tafoya Middle School, and I did graduate from Lanier High School. My girls are currently products of the district as well. So I've seen the differences from, I guess you can say, from back in the day when I was in school versus the changes that are happening now. Yes, there are some good changes, but a lot of the changes that are happening are affecting these students. And it's sad because you can see the way the changes are going, it goes into charters or into, as they say, privatizing or partnerships, however you want to quote it. If you actually go into that part of the what's going on, maybe half of the students, once that school gets reopened as a privatized partnership or a partnering with a nonprofit, it all goes back to only half of the students go back into their neighborhoods. Where's everybody else going to go? And that's a huge issue. And that's what a lot of parents are worried about right now.
And now, Patty Radel, if you talk a little bit more about your background and if you want to address anything else that was said.
Yeah. I've been, as I mentioned, I've been living in the community that I represent for over 50 years. I've already been serving on the board of SAISD for 8 years. I do understand governance from the standpoint that I've served on many community boards. I also was a member of the San Antonio City Council, so I understand many things related to finances and to bonds and, like I said, governance as you progress in policy making. And I understand the difference between management and policy. And in regards to the issue regarding charters, I think there's been a lot of kind of messy throwing around the ideas that of whether or not we are partnering with charters. The most recent controversial, I'd say, area of partnering with nonprofits in 18 of our schools is to be understood that the principals of these schools are our principals. The teachers are our teachers under the same contracts. The schools are ours. But it is a partnership. And we can't miss the point that these are partnerships bringing great things to our students. And from partnerships that we've had, we've seen the results. We've seen our children's scores going up. We've seen their academics improving. Regarding charters like KIPP and IDEA, these independent charters, those are not charters that we are partnering with. Again, these are nonprofits that we've recently partnered with, and they are not management companies. They are academically prepared to help our students. And the regarding charters, you know,
okay,
if
that's time.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Let's go back to the phones with Eddie, and the number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We have the two candidates for District 5 for San Antonio ISD, incumbent Patty Radel. She's the school board president currently, and challenger Janelle Rubio. She is supported by the San Antonio Alliance of Teachers and Support Personnel. And Eddie, you're on the air. Go right ahead with your question.
Yes, so at the beginning of the school year, the superintendent assured the community members of the Rodriguez area that their school would not be closed, and it was. And setting aside the reasons, and I would say that there were actually other options that could have been done besides closing the school. It was not a mandate from the state, but who should be held accountable for that broken promise?
All right, Eddie, thank you for that question. Patty Radel, you can go first and go right ahead. 2 minutes.
The superintendent can express, you know, a hope that a school is going to get out of IR and not have to be closed by the state. But it's all dependent on the scores that come from the students. And so if the students do not pass, and that's happened for 5 years in a row, then the mandate is that the school will be closed. And there are other alternatives, but these teachers worked very hard. The principal worked very hard, and there was high confidence that the school was going to get out of IR, but it did not. And so we have this, I have to say, sad situation where there is the closure of a school. The school will be closed for a year, and we will work with community to reopen it the year afterwards. There was a possibility of the same thing happening at Stewart, and that is the anticipation was that they were going to fail for a fifth year, so there was preparation made to protect against school closure. And that could have been an option for Rodriguez, but Rodriguez was doing very well. The hope was high that we would not have to do that.
All right, and now Janelle Rubio, your response. Do you think the closing of Rodriguez Elementary and options and failure and holding people accountable, promises that were made?
They should be held to their word. If somebody says it's a promise, I can guarantee you your school is going to stay open. Months shouldn't change to where that promise is broken. If you say this is going to happen in reference to Rodriguez, Superintendent Martinez and a board member did go to the school and say, your school, Rodriguez, is going to stay open. We promise you that. To have family members, teachers, support staff go in the first day of school or the day of meet the teacher to turn around and be told you're closing at the end of the year. Honestly, that's like a big slap in the face to these kids. And these kids literally, when you see them, They have so much love and they had hope for their school. Just to be turned around and be told, oh no, you're going to close anyway. That's sad.
There's an accusation made here.
We'll get to that just because we have a question here and it follows up and you can fill in the blanks. So the question we have from our email from Sarah is about Rodriguez Elementary. How are we going to help the students moving forward with that? So we're going to have 2 minutes, and so we can talk about all these other issues in there as well. Janelle Rubio, you go first. What do you want to? It's Rodriguez Elementary. The state has its rules. This is what happened. It is closing. What do you want to see happen to those students?
Yes, I understand the school is closing. Those kids are going to have to be sent down the road to another school during that process until their school actually gets reopened. But now these parents are having to worry about how they're going to get the kids to and from school. That's another big issue that's going on right now. And it's sad to say. They're not even promised help to get them to and from school. These parents are trying to find ways because there's no bus routes. They're going to have to walk their kids to that school. How are they going to get there? That's a huge issue. That's like the biggest issue going on right now within that community. Getting out there when I speak to them, parents shouldn't be in tears about worrying of how their kids are going to get to school. They need to know that they can still go to school down the street from their house. Yes, it's going to take another year, maybe two, before the district actually does open that campus. But what are the families in the community supposed to do in the meantime?
Okay, and Patty Radel, if you can talk about how the transition has been mapped out. Is there bus availability or what's being considered? And again, tell me again, was there a hard promise guarantee made to the school?
Absolutely no hard promise. And I feel like I'm being accused of having said that. I never said that. And our principal was a principal who spoke with hope, and that if the students passed, certainly it would stay open. That didn't happen. I did not make such a promise. It was all encouragement. And to say that I never said it is just not true. And as far as the transition is concerned, I'm elated to see how hard our staff is working with parents, having regular meetings with parents, working out all the complications there are in closing Rodriguez and getting them transferred over to Carvajal. The transportation issue, if parents are worried and you say they're crying about the transportation issue, we should be assuring them that they are going to be taken care of. The transition department was on that campus just yesterday having a follow-up meeting to the concerns about transportation. Those students are going to be taken care of. And the transportation has new applications that are used by parents in order to track their children on the buses. We have great pickup spots for the students. Transportation is going to be taken care of. And I would hope that anybody who knows this now would make sure that the parents know that clearly, that we are taking care of all these concerns. It just takes time. And one thing that would help is if the students who intend to enroll at Carvajal, take care of that as soon as possible, and that will make it easier on the transportation department to figure out how they're going to do the best by the students for next year.
All right, so I'm going to ask about your relationship, and we'll start off with Patty Radel, with the San Antonio Alliance of Teachers and Support Personnel, which is a local teachers union. Y'all had been working very well together, and then there's been a falling out over time. How important is this relationship? Is this something that can be mended? Also, we can talk about, your relationship as well, when we get to you in 2 minutes. So, Patty?
Well, you're right that we have had a good relationship with the Alliance. We check in with the Alliance on a regular basis regarding very different issues throughout the district, and they have been helpful in many issues that we've had to handle and bringing important things to our attention. However, since at least the spring of last year, it has been a contentious relationship. And it would be my hope that that there would be better discussion and better understanding. And I think what has been very hurtful to and adding to confusion out there in the community is for the Alliance to throw out phrases like, they're selling our schools. We are not selling our schools. They're partnering with charters. In these recent 18 schools, again, we did not partner with charters. These are in-district charters that came from the longings, the wantings of the campuses themselves. They requested these partnerships. And we are making it possible with also great resources for our students. So the relationship has been contentious. There has been, again, this distortion in the communication of what we are doing. We are, as a board and a staff, we see great things happening. And the feedback that we have gotten from recent surveys that have been taken show that over 70% of the people on our campus, our teachers, understand that we are going in a good direction, understand what we are doing for the campuses and the good that this is bringing, the resources financially and academically.
And now, Janelle Rubio. Janelle, if you could tell me about your relationship with the San Antonio Alliance of Teachers and Support Personnel.
I first got involved with the Alliance. It was through a neighborhood meeting. I was invited by a local grandparent that is very concerned about issues that are going on at the campuses on all levels, from elementary, middle school, to high school. These meetings were held in the front yard of people's houses, backyards of my house. And it was just everybody voicing their opinions. And it's they all had the same opinions, worried about our schools, worried about issues going on in our campus, the lack of transparency, the lack of accountability, and not having that community voice. And this is, it was a different meeting, same three platforms, same three issues that were coming up. And it's sad because they still feel the same way. They want to be able to have their voice heard. They want to be able to hold the board and the district accountable. They want to see the transparency start.
And your relationship with the San Antonio Alliance of Teachers and Support Personnel?
That's how I got involved with them, was through these meetings. They had representatives showing up at the meetings, and they were just taking notes, wondering what was going on in the neighborhood. They wanted to see what the neighborhood had to say on issues that were going on in the campuses. That's how I was getting involved with them.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. And the question comes from Nikolai. And Nikolai, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, man. Hey, I'm an active member of the community. I have a resource that I have pretty much parallel to an elementary I just kind of want to know what's the best approach, you think, for someone who is an active member with a resource, with power, water, internet, to help take these kids off the streets and have an opportunity to further develop their educational skills.
All right, Nikolai, thank you for the question. And Janelle Rubio, your first responder.
Hi, Nikolai. I've actually had to go through some sources like what you're going through right now. With some of the students, I've had to open up my home personally for students that have not had homes to get them back on their feet and get them where they needed to be. And that's something that should be available in our area. It shouldn't just be one person opening their door. Yeah, you don't know who the kid is, but when a kid comes to you saying, my clothes are dirty, I have no way to eat, I have no way to shower, what are you supposed to do? Shut them out and leave them out in the cold? You can't do that. Or leave them out in the hot heat? You can't do that. You have to be able to open your doors and make that known.
Okay, and Patty Radel?
Well, I think if people do have resources that they would like to make available to our students and help our students, we have the Office of Innovation. And that office has many responsibilities, but one of the responsibilities is to help connect people who have programs, people who have interest in engaging with our students in order to bring greater possibilities, to bring support, to bring mentoring, to get started by going through that office and get connected to the help of the students. We certainly have a lot of students with a lot of great needs and who would benefit very much by the impact of somebody else wanting to help our students.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're having a community forum with the two candidates for District 5 for SAISD. We have Patty Radel. She is the Board of Trustees President for SAISD, and her challenger, Janelle Rubio. If you have a question, you can call in. A question for both candidates, they can both answer it. 210-614-8980. Got an email question from Sarah. As a taxpayer in SAISD, I have a question about district administrative cost. SAISD spends over twice as much per student on central offices administration as Northside ISD. Since the administration is almost 25% of our campuses, will be contracted out to management organizations next school year, will you commit to cutting SAISD's central office cost by 25%? And Patty Radel.
Well, I think there's a lot of misinformation there. We are very well within a reasonable amount of money that we have spent on our central office staff. We are doing well in that regard. And, you know, I think that, you know, statistics thrown out like that need to be questioned in comparison. We certainly should be all aware about the challenges of finances for our campuses and for our districts in general. So we certainly have worked very hard at getting people in place who can push forward the initiatives, the partnerships that we have. And again, this question sort of suggests as if we are giving our campuses away to somebody, and we are not. These are SAISD campuses, and we need the personnel that we have in order to assist and strengthen the programs that we have in place. And the feedback that we get from teachers as well is whether it's professional development or other means that teachers are getting what they need on campus, but it needs support from central office. We want central office to be a place that is of service to our campuses, and we seek to provide more autonomy to our individual campuses. So we have a balance, and we feel that there is that balance that we are able to give the support to our campuses and pay justly for. We've brought in many outstanding experts in the departments that we have, and we are doing well because of that.
And Janelle Rubio, administrative cost. Will you pledge to cutting SAISD central office cost by 25%?
Honestly, as a taxpayer, I feel the central office is getting more money than what they should. The money, the property taxes should go back to the classroom, to getting resources, to getting more in the classroom so the kids can study. For example, my daughter's AP class, 4 tablets to 20 students. That's not right. You need to have more resources in the classrooms so these kids can learn right. Kids are told not to be on cell phones. And what's the first thing they have to do? They have to take out their phones because it's a computer. They have to use their phones to do their classwork because there's not enough resources in the classrooms itself. More tax dollars need to go to the classrooms and to the teachers than it does to the central office.
Okay, and here's another caller, and this is from Peggy. Peggy, welcome to The Source. So you're on the air. You've got a question for our candidates for District 5 SAISD.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. The question, the superintendent has close ties to people who want to privatize public schools. As a progressive, do you support the privatization of public schools?
Okay, and so the question will go first to Janelle Rubio.
No, I don't support privatizing public schools. Our schools need to be schools. Our neighborhoods, our teachers need to know that they can send their kids to the school practically, what, across the street from them, a few blocks down from them, they need to know that they can go to their neighborhood schools, not sending them or busing them out 2 or 3 miles, if not farther, just to get to a public school. Public schools has to be in our neighborhoods. We need to promote public schools. You see all these other districts saying, go public, but yet our district is privatizing. It's sad. We need to stand strong for our public schools.
Okay, and Patty Radel, is there privatization of public schools going on in SAISD, and does the Superintendent Pedro Martinez have a special relationship, as the caller said, with that type of industry?
We are not privatizing. I do not support privatization of public schools, and no matter how many times you say it, it doesn't mean that we are doing it. You can't just keep saying we are privatizing schools and think that that's the truth. It is not. As I mentioned, our schools are our schools. People who have the last word in hiring and firing a principal is the SAISD school board. These schools belong to SAISD. The teachers are SAISD teachers, and they are on our contracts. We are not privatizing. And our superintendent is willing to engage with anyone who can do well for our students. That doesn't mean that we're going to turn our schools over to charter schools, but we can learn from one another, just as we did with KIPP, learning about great ways to prepare our students for a college-going environment, a college-going culture. And they were instrumental in helping us get an $8 million grant from Valero to be able to take 200 students a year around to college campuses around the country. It's a great partnership. It doesn't mean that we brought KIPP into our district, but we are not afraid to have conversation and to learn from others who are doing well by our students.
Okay, we have an email from Tiffany. Board members are asked to make tough decisions every day. When it comes down to it, how will you prioritize the needs of kids with the competing needs of adults that work for the district? And Patty Radel, 2 minutes.
Well, overall, our focus has to be on the student. We certainly are going to have a very high priority about worrying about our teachers as well. And our teachers, you know, I believe work extremely hard, and they need our support. And I think we have a board that wants to give them the support that they need. But the decisions that we make at the district are always easier when we truly focus on what the student needs. And we are guided by that. What the student needs is our guiding light in all the decisions that we make. And in making good decisions for the students, there's also the consideration of what that does to families and how we support our families. And so that's I think where the focus has to be. And I think everything has to stem from what is the best thing for our students.
And Janelle Rubio, balancing the needs of the students versus the jobs of people who work for the district.
There needs to be a balance. There needs to be a balance with the students. There needs to be able to say special ed student. They need to have their accommodations. And then the district needs to meet those accommodations. So for example, the student needs the teacher to go in and monitor them during a class period or during a certain time frame. Why not have that available for them? They need to have that extra time. Even if it's more one-on-one time with that student, that needs to happen. These students need to know that they are safe in schools, that they're able to learn what they need to learn to get out into life.
Okay, now we have time for the closing statements, and each candidate gets 1 minute, and you will be able to kind of wrap up and sell your ideas and why you want your voters to support you. And Janelle Rubio, you will go first, and you have 1 minute.
As a parent, the community voice is missing from our district. I would love to help build this. I am not a politician. I am a mother and a concerned community member. I am willing to volunteer my time to make this change. We need to give the board needs to give us more time for meetings, community voice, transparency, and accountability. We need to make sure this is what we hold the district and the board accountable for. I am Janelle Rubio. Thank you.
And now, Patty Radel, you have 1 minute.
The changes that we are bringing to the district are bold changes. And change is difficult. And it causes tension. I want to say how grateful I am to the teachers and the administration and the community who have looked deep enough into what we're doing to understand that these are amazing things, amazing opportunities, creative opportunities that we are bringing to our schools for the most important thing we do, our mission of improving the academic success of our students. The Commissioner of Education for the state of Texas has called us one of the fastest improving districts in the state. You get there, you get to a position of that kind of improvement by bringing innovative programs to our district. And we will continue to work harder to help people understand what is happening. We will be working on always improving communication. But we thank people for those of you who have paid good attention to the good things brought to the district. Thank you.
Okay. And that was Patty Radel. And she is the incumbent president of SAISD and the trustee for District 5 at SAISD. She's running for re-election. Her challenger is Janelle Rubio. And she is also running, and she is being supported by the San Antonio Alliance of Teachers and Support Personnel. Election Day, early voting begins on Monday. Election Day is Saturday, May the 4th. This is Texas Public Radio, The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
Yo-Yo Ma traveled to Laredo recently to celebrate the culture and the people on the border.
People at border cultures can actually access the center of each culture.
Thoughts from the cellist and a conversation with star of stage and screen Rita Moreno. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.